Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. Enjoy today's message. May you experience the presence of our Father, and may you grow deeper in your relationship with Him.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thanks so much. Great. What a blessing to be here. You might have noticed I've been on leave for a bit, so quite long leave. It was great. Good for resting and all that stuff. But it's great to be back, and it's great to see you guys. We spent some time. You know what happens with a longer leave? You end up with a long list of stuff that you need to do at home. So I was quite busy. I didn't get through everything. So I've got to finish a few things this evening before I go back to the office now. But we did end up going away a bit. We ended up going camping as a family with friends of ours. And we did the proper roughing it thing, eh? It's quite hectic. I was very proud of my family. So the only, amenity, whatever. The only thing that was there was a river. That was where we camped. There was a river there, which is good. Good to have a river. You could swim there. There was like a big rock we could jump from, and the kids could also try that. That was great. Fetch water. We did bring drinking water with us, make fire, all that stuff. And the kids had to learn to do a felty. Do you know what a felty is? You know, when you take your little spade and the toilet paper and you head into the bush to a designated area. There's a designated area. Otherwise, when you go on walks and stuff, it gets unpleasant. So we designated a specific area, and the kids were like, what? How does this work? And they had to like get into it a bit. The ground was very hard, so I had to help them with the shoveling bit now and again. You know, Emily, she's the little one. She's turning 4. Can you believe it? In the beginning of November. That's hectic. But she's, you know how she is. She's the one that always wants to be dressed nice, you know, and she does the hair flick, and she's always very aware of how she looks, you know. So I was wondering, how is she going to handle this roughing it in the bush thing, you know? And she did really well. By the end, she just kind of walk around the tent and squat there and behind the bush. I was like, whoa, you know, go to the designated. I was kind of concerned that the teacher was going to phone me and ask me about new habits that she's formed there on the playground. But luckily, up to now, nothing has happened. But no, we had a great time. This morning, David, I was just getting breakfast ready for the kids. And I got distracted with something, and I was literally, I had, you know, the cereal bowls out and everything, and then I got distracted, and I was out there watering a piece of lawn that I had to transplant, you know, you have to look after it a bit. Anyway, and then David came out, he said, there's something wrong with his cereal, it doesn't taste right. I'm like, I'm sure it's fine, and then I realized, but I haven't given you any cereal, and then turns out he was sorting himself out. Yeah, he was helping himself there with cereal and stuff. And I wasn't sure if I should be very proud of him while being independent or whether he's got just a healthy survival instinct, you know, because he's reckoned if dad's in the garden, he might starve. But anyway, it turns out it tasted like there was salt in it. He claims he didn't put any salt in it, but we're still figuring that one out. Any case, so they're growing up, praise the Lord, eh? One of these days can make their own food. That's like a big milestone, eh? Amen. Praise the Lord. Anyways, hallelujah. Let's pray for the word. Let's get into that. Hallelujah. God, we honor you and your faithfulness, Lord. We are so thankful, God, that we can spend time in a week like this to draw near to you, God. Around the topic of relationships, around the concept of marriage and the institution of marriage. And we thank you, Father, that your heart is for us in this, Lord. Your heart is for marriage. Your heart is for godly relationships. And you bless it, Lord. And we thank you for every good and perfect thing that you have designed for us. And we honor you that we can come, and we thank you that we can come boldly this evening and ask, Holy Spirit, that you would renew our minds, that you would grace us, that you would impart to us revelation of what's on your heart, Lord, and what's your truth around these things. We're not here for any man's opinion, Lord. We are here to meet with you. Amen. Okay. If you're married, please have a listen also to this morning's message. It might be slightly more applicable to you, but I believe this evening will also bless you. But I will be focusing a little bit more on if you're not yet married, if that's okay with you guys. All right, so in terms of the world that we live in, right, and the society that we're in, I remember growing up, there was already some stuff about marriage, and there was already some, not confusion, but there was, out there in the media and stuff, there was already some, differences of opinion, gray areas, should it be this, should it be that, different portraits of marriage, different images of marriage floating around. But today, it's like 100 times worse. It's not only one or two different opinions, it's just chaos. Just everybody has their own opinion, everybody says, no, you can do this or that, or this. So much going on around sexuality, around gender, around marriage, this and that, and big debates, and it's really crazy out there. And when we come to the scripture around this topic, I want us to take a moment of humbling ourselves right at the beginning. Let's acknowledge that living in the world that we live in, chances are that we have been influenced by all the nonsense out there. Can you agree? So let's start there. Say, Lord, reality is, chances are that my concept of marriage in my head is probably quite messed up. So I need to humble myself and say, Lord, I need my mind to be renewed on this topic. And I'm not saying, maybe you've come out of an amazing home. Maybe your parents have got a super amazing example of a marriage, which is amazing. But even in that case, I would say that chances are somewhere you and I have been influenced, have been somehow influenced by the nonsense that's happening out there. Okay, so let's start with that place saying, Lord, we trust you to renew our minds. We trust you to shift something in our hearts, to understand something of your heart around this. Are you with me? Is that okay? We do that. Okay. So I want us to just briefly, before we get into the scripture, I'm just going to mention one or two things. I'm just going to almost recap. So one of the challenges that we have around marriage and relationship is that if we are influenced by the world, we tend to approach the whole topic from an angle that's not necessarily God's angle. So we tend to think, it would be great to have to be in a relationship for X, Y, Z reasons. And many times those reasons are not even on God's radar. They're not even there. Sometimes, when you're really holy, you got them all mixed up in terms of priority. But the thing is, often we approach marriage and relationship out of a place of, it's going to make me happy. We're going to complete one another. You know that whole thing of we complete each other. Two halves make a whole. That type of thing. I'm looking for somebody that can complete me, or that kind of concept. And the challenge with that is not God's main purpose or desire for marriage. So I want us to look, not at all of them, I want us to look at two of the important purposes for marriage. Just as something to keep in the back of our minds. I'm not even going to read the scripture, but right there in Genesis, God starts to speak to man and he says, go forth and multiply, okay, and fill the earth. Even before he talks about our mandate to have dominion, he talks about multiplying and filling the earth and having, and then, and kind of procreation. So that is one of the, we're not on the slides yet, okay? Relax, guys, thanks. so, right there in the first verses of Genesis, he talks about procreation. So that's one of the key reasons for marriage, is God's figured out a very fun way to for us to procreate in a blessed way. Hallelujah. So that's amazing. And just a note on that, just in terms of the word multiplication, maybe it's not relevant for you guys if you're not married, but if you are two and you have two kids, if my math is right, you're just replacing. It's not multiplying. Any math buffs out there? Is that true? Just throwing it out there. Jonah, start, you must hurry up, eh? So, yeah, I'm just throwing it out there. Two is not multiplying. Two is just replacing. It's just kind of, you're just passing. It's just like scraping through. Any case. Anyway, I'm just throwing it out there. So that's the first very important reason for marriage. And the second one that we see in Scripture is, I'm going to read the Scripture a bit later. It talks about the marriage designed to represent the mystery of the relationship between Christ and His bride. Isn't that amazing? God has chosen marriage to illustrate that mystery between Christ and His bride, Christ and the church. And He's designed and created the marriage relationship to be an illustration of that, which is at the one hand amazing and incredible privilege and honor, but at the other hand incredibly scary and kind of sobering thought. But that is what God has called us for in marriage, to represent that beautiful, amazing mystery between Christ and His church and His bride. All right, so let's just have that in the back of our minds. Yes, God wants us to be happy and full of and find joy in marriage, 100%. But there are some very key purposes and plans that God has for marriage that are not centered around our comfort and our enjoyment. Is that okay? Can we say that? Okay. All right. No, we'll get there. We'll get there. Okay. So I want us to start on, I use this same key scripture this morning, because I believe if we recognize this is such an integral part of a relationship between a husband and wife, it kind of sets the foundation into what we're going to be talking about a bit later. Okay, so this scripture I'm going to read here, the first one from Galatians 5, is not specifically written for marriage, but I'm going to read it and apply it in the context of marriage. Okay. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. And even just that last half a sentence, I would say, in that, and you can encapsulate a lot of what marriage is all about. And if you don't know much else about marriage, but you know that you're going to one day, as a husband or wife, going to be serving somebody else humbly in love, I reckon you've made a good start. Amen. So let's take that as a bit of a foundation, and let's quickly look at, because there's a lot of loaded words in here, okay? Serving one another, serving. And we're going to read the scripture a bit later, but the example that we have is Christ. Christ served us, came to serve humanity by dying on the cross, by laying down His life. That is the example. That is the standard. Okay, so that's the kind of humble serving that we're talking about. Humbly, in terms of biblical humility, briefly, biblical humility does not mean I'm just a doormat and everything just happens to me. I don't care what people do to me. It has to do with a revelation of who God is, all right, and who He has created me to be. A revelation of who He is as the King of Kings, Lord of all, Creator of the universe. A revelation of what that looks like, but also a revelation of how do I relate to Him as son, daughter, as co-heir with Christ. Does that make sense? So that is where biblical humility comes from. It's knowing there's a God, knowing I'm not Him, I'm not God, but also knowing my place in His kingdom, my place of authority, my place of being a co-heir. So That's where that's the humility we're talking about here. And then very importantly, in love, serving one another humbly in love. This love that he uses here is the agape word, which means not the romantic love, not the eros, not the philia one, which is more the friendship one, but it's the agape one, which talks about the love that is from God, that is godly love, selfless love. That same love that had Jesus lay down his life. Amen? So that's the kind of love that we're talking about. It's a love that is not we don't have that kind of love naturally. It's something that we receive from God, receive grace from God for. Does that make sense? So let's have this in the back of our minds in terms of where we're headed as a foundation. I want to actually one more foundational scripture before we go on. Philippians 2. And again, to see the heart behind how do we approach a relationship in marriage, husband-wife relationship, and then we're going to look at some preparation steps. Okay. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let his mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. And that is the example that we have in Christ. And I believe that if we pursue this kind of mindset in the way we serve each other in marriage relationship and preparing ourselves to be able to operate in this kind of mindset is going to go a long way. And just the reality is, the world out there is all about self-gratification. Isn't that right? About pursuing your dream, your purpose, your thing, your career, your desires, whatever it may be, kind of making sure you grab a hold of those things. And the same happens in relationships, the same happens in marriages out there. But godly marriage, godly relationship is all about I'm laying down my life for someone else. I'm laying down my life for Christ, and I'm laying down my life for other people. That's what godly relationships are about. Before I was married, Jesus was number one in my life. Hallelujah. I was number two, close second. Jesus was number one. I was number two. Then Arna came onto the scene. I got married. I became number three. Then we had three children. I was then number six already. Let's make the sums. Oh, yeah, then we got a dog, so now I'm number seven. So the point I'm making is it's the opposite of the world says, what the world says. The world says maybe some things of, no, you must get your own, make sure your stuff happens. God says, lay down your lives for one another. Love each other like Christ loved the church. Let's actually read that now. Briefly in Ephesians. This is an amazing chapter on marriage, so you're welcome to go and study this a bit in terms of preparing yourself to live in this way, okay? I'm going to skip a few verses, but let's look at Ephesians 5 from verse 20. Giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. So even in our relationships, as we're preparing for marriage, as we, even if you're not there yet, submitting to one another, not when my friend deserves it, not when my wife is the best wife, then I say, yes, she now deserves me for us to submit to one another. I do it out of reverence for Christ. Our submitting to one another is not a reverence for any man, it's out of our reverence for Christ. And he goes on, if wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives. Maybe just pause there very briefly. So, wives or ladies, you don't have to submit to your boyfriend. Is that clear? And on that point, no other man except your husband and your dad, obviously. Yes, that's very important. Okay, we'll talk more about that later. My battery is going to die, so anyway, we'll see how it goes. The laptop. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives. It would have been great if they stopped there, but didn't. As Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. And if there was any confusion there, he said, we could have said as Christ loved the church, but he added there and gave himself up for her, just to clarify that Jesus died. He laid his life down. That he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. And verse 28, so husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, his flesh and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. So, not live in the flat on the same property. Leave. Father. Anyway, I'll preach about that another time. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. So there's a lot of stuff in there, and I want to take this as a background and look at a couple of things. That how can we prepare ourselves if we are not yet in the marriage season? How do we prepare ourselves for that? And again, let's just make a side note here. If you do not have a desire to be married, praise the Lord. That's great. That's also fine. It doesn't mean there's anything wrong with you. Some people don't have a desire to be married. And some people God calls not to be married. So that's great. I think there's nothing wrong with that. We see it in Scripture. We see people that are not married. We see people that God has called not to marry. And that is 100% right. But if you do have a desire, if you have a sort of a desire, but you're scared and afraid because of hurt in the past, that's something you need to deal with. Amen? But if you have a desire to be in a relationship or to be married one day, then that is something that is of God, and that's a blessing. So if you're not inclined to, have a desire for that, that's also amazing. And you can serve God in amazing ways. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing less blessed about it. Amen? Let's just keep that on the side there. But because it's relationship week, we're focusing on that. Okay. So I'm going to quickly run through a bunch of things that we can prepare ourselves for. So let's go to the next one. Okay. So you can prepare yourself with the scripture of Ephesians 5 in the background. You prepare yourself to love exclusively. I suppose I have to just check my notes here to see if I'm still on track in terms of the gospel. No, just stay on that other one. No. Noch. Yeah, noch one more. Should be there. Yep. Okay, let's just stick there for a moment. Okay. So, we prepare ourselves to love exclusively, to cultivate a ferocious, fierce love for your husband or wife, even before you know who they are. How is that possible? By the way you pray for them, by the way you prepare yourself, by the way you do not run around running into relationships and out of relationships like it's something else, by understanding the role of dating. I think we're going to get to that in a moment. Actually, let's just stand still there before we continue. Let's look at dating briefly before we get to the rest. Is the way we approach it, okay? Who thinks here? Who thinks dating is biblical? One or two there. Difficult to make a call. I'm just kidding. Don't worry about it. I'm not going to test you on that. The challenge with dating is how do we approach it? For what reason are we dating? Okay. So if you are dating, thinking in the back of your mind, there is this thought out there that dating is going to prepare me for marriage, then I want to say I've got a problem with that. Because, there was a school of thought, even in a church at one point, even in amongst believers, that dating is going to prepare you to be able to handle relationships, to be able to handle the marriage relationship, there's a preparation process. So that some people have been encouraged, even amongst Christians, been encouraging people to date soon and often. But I have a challenge with that. Because it feels to me that approach, in terms of the how, preparing yourself, is almost that kind of dating is more preparing you for divorce than for marriage. I'm just throwing that out there. I'm thinking the soon and often approach, trying to gain more experience, is going to more prepare you to get out of a relationship than to stay in a relationship. Okay, so that's my opinion. It's not in the Bible, but I can. So what I want to say that I believe if we approach dating from a perspective of the who and not the how, then that's something else. In other words, firstly, I recommend, again, this is not, I can't quote a scripture for this. We can have a great discussion about it, but I recommend that we wait to date until you are ready to get married. And that will prevent you from having lots of different relationships that actually can do a lot of damage for various reasons. So the soon and often model is probably going to prepare you for divorce, where I'm waiting until I'm ready, and then I'm very purposefully, very intentionally pursuing a relationship with somebody that I believe has a very good chance of being the one that I'm going to marry. Does that make sense? I'm not yet 100%. I'm like 99.5%. Okay, maybe that's a bit extreme. But that was where I was at. The Lord had lots of patience with me, and Adana also lots of patience, because I took a long time to ask her out. You can ask her about that. It took like 8 months or so, getting patience and stuff like that. Just to wrestle with God about, is she really my wife, before I asked her out. But in any case, I reckon that the concept there is not a bad one, because if you are not yet ready to get married, why would you date somebody if you're not in that season yet? I'm just throwing it out there. So, why are you pursuing a dating relationship? Are you preparing yourself for something other than a godly relationship? And if you are dating, approach it in a way that's actually pursuing a very intentional road towards a covenant relationship. Does that make sense? Okay. Very quiet, yeah. Anyway, we'll see how we go forward. All right. So it's more about the who than it is about the how. Once you have come to a place where you have a conviction that, well, this person is a very good chance of being the one I want to marry, then I would say, yes, go for it and do it in the right way. We'll talk a bit about that in a moment. Okay. So in terms of preparing ourselves, we prepare ourselves to love exclusively. And that, again, it helps us not to have a lot of dating relationship, because that's not going to help you in the exclusive thing. Okay. And I want to throw in there, the Lord, it was the weirdest thing when I was still young man, that's like years and years ago. I remember there was a few times that God spoke to me and said, I must pray for my wife and my children. And for a single guy, it's a really bit random and awkward a bit, but I was surprised. But the Lord very clearly directed me, and He gave me words to pray over my family. He gave me stuff to pray for my wife. And then later on, when I was married and we were going through some hectic stuff, God reminded pray all those years ago. Isn't that amazing? Of those things that He had me pray all those years ago. Isn't that amazing? So I want to encourage you guys, be open for that. Be open to pray. Be open to prepare yourself, to love exclusively, to know that there's a person that you're going to marry, not more than one. God knows who they are, and you can be praying for them right now. Don't let that take over your whole life. Okay, that's the unhealthy extreme. But as the Holy Spirit convicts you, take time to pray. Amen. Then, to prepare yourself to serve others selflessly and not satisfy yourself. Okay, so a lot of the scriptures we read before, laying the foundation, has to do with, I'm laying down my life for somebody else. I'm not first. I'm not even second. You know that? Did you know that whole movement? I am second. I love it. It's amazing. It's really good. Lots of cool testimonies. But when you're in a relationship, you're not second. You're third. And obviously, like I said, when the kids come, it just goes downhill from there. But this is something that doesn't come naturally, guys. I want to just throw it out there. When I was engaged, I thought, I'm going to rock this thing, man. I'm going to be an amazing husband. I mean, I've got the Holy Spirit on my side. I'm born again. I'm anointed by God. You know, I'm just going to nail this marriage thing from day one. My poor wife. This doesn't come naturally. And there's stuff that comes up in our hearts that we didn't even know was there. Selfishness. Stuff that you realize, oh, actually, I do like my sleep. Actually. And when babies come, you realize, oh, sleep is nice, you know? And I want to say to us, guys, if you are able to position yourself in a place where you have an opportunity to lay your life down for other people, that is a great way to prepare yourself for marriage. I want to say, serve where you find a place to serve. Go out there, be uncomfortable while serving others. Go on mission trips that are uncomfortable. Missions are a great place because we have to serve one another on the team in a selfless way, and that's a great place to learn that kind. We used to go on these mission trips that were 6 weeks long. You know, you can still hang in there for a week. Eh? I don't know. The guys that have been on missions, you can be offended with somebody, or you can be, you know, iron sharpening iron, but you can avoid that for a week or a week and a half. But 6 weeks in a small space, in a small vehicle, well, we were about 22 people in a bus, you know. There's a lot of iron sharpening iron happening there. But what I'm saying is prepare yourself to serve selflessly, because that is what marriage is about. Prepare yourself to be second or third or fourth. Prepare yourself to lay your life down, to die to self. And that's not even just for marriage. That's just for life. Because that's Christ's example, isn't it? Laying down our lives for others. So I want to say, this is one of the best ways to prepare yourself for marriage or for any godly relationship, is just to say, I'm not the most important. I want to esteem others higher. I want to put others' interests above my own. So find a place to serve in church. Go on mission trips. Find a place where you can serve the community. A place that's not comfortable. Try that, okay? Okay. Some of you are doubting this whole marriage thing now, maybe. Okay. Prepare yourself to wait patiently. Guys, unfortunately, we also live in a society where everything must happen right now. I remember coming, living, you know, when we just arrived in the UK, and the first time I ordered something on Amazon, you have this Amazon thing, Amazon Prime, okay? And they also have this thing called one-click ordering. You've probably seen it, one-click. So you set everything up right. It's obviously a bit dodgy if you have children because they learn how to click stuff. Okay, that's the end of that. So they learn how to click stuff. So if you have kids, you know, just be careful with that. But literally you can do one click and that thing is at your door the next morning. I kid you not. I was amazed. You know, coming from here, those days, obviously, we didn't have online shopping. The Take a Lot guys have come a long way. But when I arrived there, I clicked on that thing, and the next morning, there was a knock on the door. I was like, who's this now at the door? It's like, guys, where do you come from? I don't want to go to the shop and rent a movie anymore. I just want to click on it. I want to watch it now. I don't want to wait till it comes on at 7 o'clock. I want to watch it right now. And somehow, we treat relationships that way. We're all into patience is three fools, you know. Who wants to be patient? And we just want what we want right now. And guys, there's one of the things that destroys the plan of God for your life in terms of relationship. One of the biggest things is impatience. If you and I are not able to hang in there, trust God for the right time, the right person, we tend to mess stuff up. Amen? Just, there's one amen there at the back. Okay. So I want to say, guys, prepare yourself to wait patiently. Prepare yourself to embrace the season that you're in, to run 100% for the season that God has called you for right now. Do not live in the next season when you're still in the season. Amen. To cultivate that patience in your life right now. Allow him to cultivate that patience. And one day when you have a family, that's going to be a great blessing. Amen. And that's another thing I thought. I thought I was a very patient person. In any case. Okay. So that is an amazing thing that God wants to do in our hearts, is to prepare us to be patient, to be content with what God is doing right now, to be content with the current season, to understand and embrace what God is doing in my life right now, and not to wish that I'm in another season than the one that I'm in. Okay? Adam and I went through this when we were wanting to start a family, and we were wanting to have children. It took a lot longer than we thought. We thought it's just like a vending machine. Do what you need to do, and then 9 months later, turns out it's not that simple for everybody. And there was a real struggle there because we had to repent because we were so consumed with this thing of wanting to start a family that we were missing a lot of what God wanted to do then. We were so hoping and praying and trusting and worrying and stressing and that I believe we missed a lot, and we did have to repent of missing a lot of what God wanted to do in that season. So I want to encourage you guys, if you're not yet in the almost getting married season, grab on. Proverbs 18:22. Scripture says that, it's not on there, he who finds a wife finds a good thing. Hallelujah. Okay. Amen. All the married guys. Yeah, thanks Clifford. Amen, brother. You finds a wife, finds a good thing, but at the right time. One of the reasons why people settle for somebody that is not a godly life partner, one of the biggest reasons is the impatience and time invested. You know, you meet somebody, they've been going out for 15 years, engaged for 7 years, you know, I'm thinking... And then there's something happens, and then it's a mess, and then people, honestly, people feel I cannot give this relationship up because I've invested so much time. And I'm not even, I'm making extreme now. It came, even after 5 years, people feel, I have to hang in there because I've given 5 years of my life. I want to say, guys, please, please don't hang in something that's not godly because of a fear of losing that. God will redeem that for you hundredfold, but honor Him. Amen? Don't hang in, don't stick in that thing just because of you feel you've invested so much, you can't pull out now. If God convicts you that you're not in a godly relationship, you run. Amen. All right. Okay, where was I? Patiently wait. And if we don't cultivate that healthy patience, we miss God's plan. And that this is in any case, in most things, even your career and your calling, all of that, we learn to patiently wait on God, patiently trust Him. There have been times in my life where I've prayed for stuff and I was so impatient, I was upset with God, impatient with God, you know, frustrated with God. And in hindsight, so thankful. Thinking, you know, if God blessed me or if God allowed me or granted or answered my prayer, that in that season, it would have been an absolute disaster. So hindsight is 20/20. But guys, God knows better. Amen? Okay, let's carry on. Prepare yourself to pursue purity fiercely. Okay, we can say a lot about this. We don't have that much time left, but I just want to mention one or two things. Now, you know, often we talk about why we should be pure in before marriage, why we should pursue purity. And often we approach it from a negative side. I'll cover the negative side as well, okay, just to make sure the fear of hell and death is in you. But on the other side, the most important motivation for us to pursue purity is not the potential consequence, but the potential joy that God has prepared for us. So the greatest and most important motivation for you and I to be pure is to say, I'm preparing myself to treasure, I'm preparing my heart to treasure and to love Jesus more than any relationship, more than sex, more than marriage, more than all of these things. And that is where my greatest fulfillment lies. Amen? And then I'm preparing myself for joy. Does that make sense? So it's not, yes, I want to avoid all the bad stuff that God warns us of. But and more importantly than that, I'm preparing my heart to treasure Christ above all these things. Guys, that is the absolute center of a godly marriage, is the fact that we have two people that both put Christ above any other person. I mentioned it this morning, but that's the weirdest thing that happens these days. It's not that weird, but a couple of years ago, you know, if you want to write your wife a note or your boyfriend or your, you know, fiance, you would write them a letter. Huh? Amazing. Write a note, put it in the post or whatever under their door or, you know, in their thingy there at the res, their little post box thingy. But in any case, nowadays, it's interesting that people put kind of messages that would have been private in the past now are public on social media. Have you noticed that? I'm not saying that's completely wrong. I'm saying it's good to affirm your wife. It's good to honor them and all those things. But I'm saying don't only do it on social media. Amen? Yes, do also do the notes, also do the letters, also do the other stuff. And then I want to just mention another thing that I thought I'd just have to mention is you see these people that say that they honor their wife or their husband and bless them and they acknowledge them, which is all great. And then they say stuff like, you are my rock and you are my everything. And I'm like, what? Are you saved? just want to throw it out there. You cannot, there's only one rock in our lives. There's only one person that can be everything to me. There's only one person that can handle being everything to me, and that is Jesus Christ. Amen? If I put that on any person, things are going to go pear-shaped. Okay. I know it sounds blessed. It sounds amazing. So don't get offended with me. But that is the absolute foundation of godly marriage, is that I am putting Christ first. Actually, we're going to get to that in a moment. Okay. So pursuing purity, and it doesn't stop when we get married, guys. Let's just make that very clear. There's this deception that things, this battle for purity, this pursuit of purity, once that ring is on my finger and say, I do, it's like, woohoo, you know, all the troubles are gone and there's no more temptations and everything is amazing. It's not that, it doesn't work like that. Okay, it's a lifelong pursuit of honoring Christ and loving Him more, and that flows over into our purity. Does that make sense? So don't fall for that lie, that especially if you're in a committed relationship. Let me just maybe say this and offend some more people. If you're in a committed relationship, or if you're already engaged, some people think the temptation is less, it's more. Okay, there's this lie that comes to think you're committed, you've got the date, the marriage date is set, everything is organized. Why should we, why wait? Why do we still have to be pure? 100% yes. Amen? Don't fall for that nonsense, guys. Make sure your boundaries are in place. Make sure you're positioning yourself in a way that honors God. I'm getting a bit ahead of myself now. Let's just go back to what the world says, okay? Actually, I want us to read. Anybody have a Bible? Yeah, is a Christian? Yes. I left my phone there at the back. It's not on the slides. Anybody have a Bible? Yeah, is a Christian? Yeah, great. Thanks. Thanks so much. I used to have one of these. I lost it. Where did you find this? Okay. First Thessalonians 4, verse 3. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel, in other words, his own body, in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God. Okay? So he's talking there about abstain from sexual immorality. Each of you should know how to possess and control his own body in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God. So he's saying, the stuff that's happening out there, guys, it's if people do not know God, let's just be real. People out there that do not know God, they get up to all kinds of nonsense. Amen? In terms of sexuality, in terms of promiscuity. And to be honest, I don't think we should be expecting anything else. Because if we don't know God, anything goes. Amen? Whatever goes. You know, you can have multiple partners. You can do one-night stands. You can experiment on every level. You can get up to all this nonsense. You can move in with your girlfriend or boyfriend or one of each or whatever you prefer. You know, anything goes. And I want to say that it is to be expected, because if you do not know God, sex is as good as a God as anything else. Okay? But let's be clear. You and I cannot follow that example because we know better. We know God. Amen? Knowing Him changes everything in the way we approach marriage and relationship. It transforms the whole thing. So we cannot, I want us to just have a reality check now. If I'm tempted to operate like my roommate in Rares, if I'm tempted to pursue a relationship like I see happening around me on campus or at my workplace, or just realize that I know better because I know the giver of life, the one that's it's designed marriage, the one that has put me together. I know him. And that completely changes the way I approach this thing. Does that make sense? I cannot afford to even try and rationalize why it's okay to live like this. Because God is setting something else before me. Amen? Because when I know him, and when I have a relationship with Jesus, I'm aware of the reality of sin and death. I'm aware of the reality of hell. I'm also aware of the reality of Jesus Christ having taken my sin and my shame and my nonsense and my failures and have nailed it onto the cross for me. Having taken our depravity, having taken our sin, all the stuff of our past, and he's carried it on the cross. So I do not, as one who follows Jesus, I don't want to pick up that hammer again to drive those nails again. I don't want to do that. Amen? I don't want to trample the blood of Jesus underfoot. I don't want to dishonor and trample on his sacrifice. Because I know him. And I want to pursue purity. To honor him and to bring glory to him. So I don't want to hear of people. Yeah, a friend of mine mentioned this. Maybe he mentioned this on Friday. But he had a job. He was interviewing somebody the other day for a job. Okay. So imagine this. The guy comes in for an interview, and in his interview, he says, I'm a believer, I'm passionate about Christ, stuff like that. And my friend says, that's great, you know, good for you. And he's, you know, and they go on with the interview, and then he says a few things, and it becomes clear to my friend that he's staying with a lady. Okay. So he asks him, so how long have you guys been married? No, they're not married. I says, okay. So my buddy, who's obviously very straightforward kind of guy, he says, how can you say you're passionate about Jesus? This is a job interview. Okay, how can you say, I love the guy. How can you say you're passionate about Jesus? In the same sentence, you say, oh, you know, and he said this. He says he knows it's not right, but other interview went forward from there. But it must have been a little bit awkward, to be honest. But he did say, just like, God, I don't see how that can work together. And but the guy did, he did get the job, and he did make changes. And they're not staying together anymore. Amen? So just call it by name. I don't want to hear of believers saying, yeah, I know it's like a thing, but we decided it's going to save a lot of money. What nonsense. Guys, we cannot afford to think like the world. Amen? I had somebody the other day, a few months ago, ask me if I could marry them, if I could do the ceremony. Let's just clarify that. So, yeah, anyway, so they wanted me to do the ceremony, and I said, listen, I don't know you guys. You know, I've seen you around church here and there. They haven't been in church. They've been to another church. Let's take some time. The guy was married before, so I said, let's process this thing. Let's make sure we do it right. You know, give me some updates. I was just talking to the guy. No, at the moment, they're actually sharing a flat just because there's a practical stuff around it. I said, no way. I said, no. That's number one. Sort this out. put yourself in a position where you have godly support, where you have a godly community around you. Make sure you've dealt with the past, because like I said, he's been married before. Make sure you prepare yourself and give yourself the best possible chance to have a marriage that honors God from day one. Amen? Isn't that good advice? Nope. They had some word from God that they need to marry in a month's time. I said, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I can't do that unless we have these things in place. And I said, please do the legacy course. Please work through these things. Please prepare yourself. And they found somebody else to marry them. Anyways, but guys, I can't see how we can honor God if we operate like the world does. Amen? Okay, let me not stand still here too long. So yes, we should expect this kind of behavior from the world, but when we are in Christ, there's something that he holds before us that is beautiful and pure. It's something that he has designed. He's designed it for our pleasure. He's designed it for a godly purpose. And he has put it in a context called marriage covenant. Amen? And nothing else. And I want to just encourage you guys. People always ask me, how far is, where's the line, you know? How far can we go if we're going out for 1 week, and if it's 5 weeks, you know, and if you're engaged, you know, does that line, is it like, obviously, I was also there, guys, I understand. So, let's make it easy. Is that okay? Unless that person is your spouse, okay, they could be somebody else's spouse. Yes? Is that difficult? Understand? So, I reckon, treat that person like somebody else's spouse until they are yours. Huh? What a blessing. No, anyway, so obviously I'm quite extreme on this thing. I have two daughters, guys. You must forgive me. But the point is, okay, I want to get too graphic, but there's some stuff that has been designed, some intimate interaction between a guy and a girl that has been designed for in marriage to lead to sexual intimacy. Okay? It's amazing. Your body has been designed for it. Okay? And there's some of these things that kind of start the fire and then it just goes. And it ends up with sexual intimacy, which is amazing in marriage. Okay? When we were camping, there was the felt fire. It was spectacular. And we went to fight the fire. I'll talk about that another day. But that stuff, when the felt is dry like it is now, and there hasn't been rain, I tell you what, it just runs. It's amazing to see, especially if it's windy. That's the way it works. If you light that flame, the wind is there, it runs. You cannot stop it. If that wind is fast, if that wind is strong enough, there's almost nothing you can do. And guys, I want to say, it's the same thing when you are engaging in sexual kind of intimacy, stuff that is going to light that fire, you're going to get yourself in trouble. Don't start there. Don't fiddle with that stuff and then be surprised if you end up in a place where you can't stop the fire. Does that make sense? So I want to give you good advice. Don't put the line here. Just put it there. Give yourself lots of room. Amen? And honor God. You're quiet in here now. Amen. All right. But if you don't understand what I'm talking about, you can come afterwards before it, and I won't draw pictures, but I'll make it clear. Don't light that fire, guys. Don't go there. Bible talks about it. It said, how can a man light a fire in his bosom and expect not to be burnt? That's what the Bible says. Don't go there. Amen. All right, let's Let's close. Please stand on that note. Okay, guys, so the challenge that we have is, the reality is many of us here have had great examples in our homes. But also, many of us here have had not so great examples, okay? That's the reality we live in. The reality we live in is that many of us are daily bombarded and faced with stuff around relationships, around sexuality, that are abominations to God. That's the stuff we are bombarded with every day. That's the reality. So I want us to acknowledge, guys, we need God's grace in this area. Amen? We need God's grace. We need to be humble before Him in this stuff. We need to say, Lord, I need your grace. I'm messed up. My head is messed up. I need your grace. I need my mind to be renewed. I need to think differently than the world does. I need you to transform my mind. And just being humble around this, and part of humility is positioning myself in a place where I can walk in the light, where I can have friends, brothers and sisters in Christ that stand with me, that when I'm pursuing a relationship, or I'm considering pursuing a relationship, that can tell me, whoa. I mean, I had two of those guys. Praise the Lord. Potential ones. The one I was battered so properly, that was just the grace of God. Eh? Praise the Lord. The other one, the Lord said to me, luckily both kind of before we entered into a relationship. The other one was, the Lord said to me, this is not from me. I've got something better for you. Isn't that great? So I was like, yeah. And praise God, Erna came into my life. But anyway, so, I don't know, I had a point. So, I want us to come humbly before God, to acknowledge that we need our minds to be transformed and renewed, and to allow His grace to enter into this area. Oh, that's the whole accountability thing. When I hear people say, "Yoch, there's this lady, we're getting engaged, going to get married quite soon," I'm like, okay, great stuff. What does your small group say? Oh, no, I haven't told them that. I'm like, whoa, okay. If they're not in a small group, it's a different story. But if you're in a small group, and I want to say, position yourself in a community, in a group of people that love you enough to say what you are doing is going to kill you, stop. I'd say that's good if somebody tells me that. Amen? Position yourself in accountability relationships where people can say to you, yes, go for it, or just hang back, or let's pray. That's part of that humility, is to say, I need others' input. I need input from leaders. I need input from believers. Input from my parents. Even if they're not Christians. Often, ungodly parents still give godly advice. Okay? So I want to encourage you, if you're in that situation, if you're in a situation where you've had a terrible example, when I was praying before, I felt there's some here that feel discouraged because you feel like you're at a disadvantage because you would have got a messed up past or you've got messed up examples. I want to say to you that God is for you. It's His desire for you to have your mind renewed. And His blessing and His love and His grace, it abounds towards you in this area. Amen? But you need to pursue it. You need to pursue Him in it, patiently, trusting Him for restoration, trusting Him for healing, trusting Him for mind renewal. Amen? The other thing that I felt is that there might be one or two people here this evening that are convicted that you are not in God's order right now when it comes to relationships. It could be that you are in a relationship, or that you are sort of in one, or considering one, or but it's not of God. And maybe you're convicted about something. Maybe the Holy Spirit convicted you. But I want to encourage you this evening, receive the grace that God has for you right now to stop and to turn towards Him. Amen. So if that's you, if you're wrestling with something, or if you're wrestling with a decision, or if you're convicted of something, or if God has already spoken to you and you've not managed to listen or obey, I want to encourage you, there's grace tonight to repent. To say, Lord, I don't want to get burnt. I don't want to hurt somebody, and I don't want to destroy somebody's life. I want to turn away. Amen? I feel there's a grace tonight to choose to walk in the light. Okay. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Lord, you're so good. You're so faithful, Lord. We are so amazed, Lord, by this incredible thing that you've designed called marriage, Lord. It's so beautiful. It's so amazing, God, and you've designed it to represent this mystery of Christ and His bride, and it just, we can't fathom it, Lord. It's beautiful. It's amazing. Oh, God, and I pray in the name of Jesus right now that you would refresh in our hearts a desire, and even just starting with a new revelation, God, of the beauty that is marriage that you have prepared, Lord, the marriage that you have designed. At the same time, we acknowledge, God, that even before we get to relationships, and even before we get to marriage, Lord, we ask for grace this evening, Lord, that we would prepare ourselves to pursue you, Lord Jesus, more than anything else. That we would prepare our hearts to love you and to cherish you, Lord Jesus, more than any other thing on this planet, God. To pursue you, Lord, to pursue your glory, to pursue your kingdom and your righteousness, to seek it out with everything that is in us, every fiber of our being, so that when we do get into that relationship that you have prepared, when we do enter the marriage covenant, that is what our marriage would be about, Lord, is to seek your kingdom, to see souls saved, to see nations turn to Jesus, Lord. That is that our marriages and our families would be about tonight, even that you would restore order, that you would restore order in our priorities, God, that you would renew our minds, that you'd stir in our hearts a passion and an urgency, Lord, to pursue you in purity and holiness. Thank you, Lord, that even those of us that have had bad examples, even those that have had the worst of backgrounds, thank you that your grace is sufficient for everyone. I speak that over discouraged hearts this evening, that the grace of God abounds for your situation. He loves you. He has prepared a road of healing for you. He desires for you to be whole. He desires for you to be restored. His desires for you to have great examples to look up to. And Lord, this evening in the name of Jesus, I speak hope over every heart in Jesus' name. Hope that it is possible to have a godly marriage. It's possible to have a relationship that honors God. Is it possible to have a relationship that is flourishing and blessed and bearing fruit that honors God? In Jesus' name. While every eye is closed, if you are here this evening and besides all the relationship stuff, you realize this evening that you're not pursuing Christ first. You realize that you're not putting Him first because you don't really have a relationship with Him. this evening, if you are convicted that you want to make right with God, that you realize that, as I said before, that He is the one that has paid the price for your sin. Whatever your past, whatever your sin, whatever your challenge, Jesus has paid the price so that you can walk free, so that you can have a relationship with the Father, so that you can turn away from your old life, so that you can receive new life, eternal life through Christ. And as every eye is closed, if that's you this evening and you are convicted right now that you want to follow Christ, you want to lay down your life, you want to choose to follow Him as Savior, you want to put your trust in Him, and I would love to pray with you. Is there anybody like that? If you could just briefly raise your hand, I'd like to pray with you. Father, we thank You, Lord, that Your grace extends to each one. Thank You that You know every heart, Lord. You know where each person comes from. You know where each person is at. And I just want us to, before we close, I just feel if you want to just invite the Holy Spirit anew into this area of your life, into your thoughts, into your heart, just invite the Holy Spirit to come and transform your mind, your thinking, to realign your thoughts, and your just to kind of do a reset in this area. I just feel there's a just to raise your hand to God and say, Lord, I need You in this area of my life. I need Your grace. I need your wisdom. I need Your direction. If that's you, won't you just raise your hands to God? I'm not going to call you forward. I just want you to just say to God, Lord, here I am. I need Your grace and I need Your wisdom. Father, thank You that You see every hand, You see every heart, Lord. And in the name of Jesus, as we humble ourselves, God, we declare, Lord, we need You to renew our hearts and renew our minds. We need You to do a reset. We need You to transform our minds. We need You to direct our hearts in the right way, God, in Jesus' name. Deliver us, Lord, from any temptation of wanting to do it the way the world does. Deliver us, Lord, from foolishness. Deliver us, Lord, from whacked thinking, Lord, in Jesus' name. And renew our hearts, renew our minds, God, in the name of Jesus. Let Your kingdom come in the area of relationships in our lives. Let Your glory be manifested, Lord. Let Your name be absolutely glorified in this area, Lord, in our lives, in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to close now. If you need somebody to pray with you about something, especially if you...
Thanks for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that you enjoyed your time with us, establishing God's kingdom and His glory in your life. For more info, call us on 012-362-1363, email us pretoria@shofaronline.org, browse our website www.shofaronline.org, or like us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.